from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. First up this hour, as PG&E struggles to escape bankruptcy, a group of public officials is urging the state to consider transforming the privately owned utility into a customer-owned cooperative. We'll talk with the leader of this coalition, San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo. Then, a year after the campfire destroyed the town of Paradise and killed 85 people, we'll talk with survivors and the town's mayor about recovery and what the future looks like. We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to take a look back at the campfire. It's been a year since the town of Paradise was nearly destroyed, killing 85 people in the process. We're going to check in with folks up there about how things are looking now, but we're going to begin with PG&E. Those power blackouts are over for now, but the utility is still in bankruptcy. Governor Newsom is hoping, in his words, to reimagine PG&E. And a group of mayors and county officials are doing just that, urging the Public Utilities Commission to turn the investor-owned utility into one owned by its customers. The effort is being led by San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, who joins us now from our San Jose Bureau. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Scott.
Thanks for joining us. And let me give out the phone number, because this is a relatively short segment. It's 1-866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Well, let me begin, Mayor, with this letter that was sent this week to the California Public Utilities Commission to consider this idea of what is being called a mutual benefit corporation, or a user-owned utility. What exactly would that look like?
Well, the company that exists now has shareholders that own the equity in the company. Essentially, we would have the ratepayers, the customers, supplant the shareholders as the owners of the company. And this is very common in financial institutions like credit unions and mutual insurance companies. And what you get is essentially a business that is, I think, better aligned with the financial interest and the public interest of the people it serves.
And so what happens to the investors? Now, the current investors.
They get bought out through the bankruptcy process. And right now, the value of their shares is not much. The shares have declined about 90% in value in the last couple of years. And I think PG&E just announced its loss today for the quarter, and it's projecting about $6 billion in losses from these fires. So I'm not sure there's going to be much value left for the current shareholders.
And what is there a model in terms of a utility?
Yeah, there are actually many dozens of customer-owned utilities throughout the country. Most of them are small rural utilities, but there are larger ones that have more than $1 billion in revenue. And in Georgia, another one in North Dakota that covers, I believe, 9 states. So they can be large. They're typically very small. This would obviously be the largest.
And how is it different from, say, SMUD, Sacramento, the public utility there?
This is not a government takeover of the utility, although I certainly recognize and appreciate that SMUD and other publicly owned utilities can operate very well. A public takeover would require, under the Fifth Amendment, would require that the taxpayers would foot the bill for an awful lot of infrastructure, and paying for all those wires and poles would cost our taxpayers billions and billions of dollars before we invested a single cent in actually making the grid safer or more reliable, which is, I think, what we all really want.
And so then who would be responsible for the grid and the wires and the poles and all that stuff?
Well, the customers, of course, that is all of us.
I don't have time for that.
You're right. You don't. So there would be a board, just like on any company. The board would represent the customers. And ultimately, those decisions need to be made by a board that would be qualified, hopefully not with any elected officials like me, but rather folks who understand the intricacies of utility industry and energy markets.
And the CPUC would still be the regulatory agency, obviously, right?
Well, under state law, it appears there would be a different regulatory regime with regard to rates, but I think ultimately the legislature could decide differently. I think we all recognize we're at a moment where we need to think differently about whatever model moves forward. But I think under state law, the rate-making authority, CPUC, would be diminished.
And so I'm a little confused by that. So then who would sort of oversee it? Who would say that the whether or not rates could be increased? Who would who would they be accountable to, this board of sort of citizen investors?
They would be accountable to the customers, the ratepayers. And certainly, again, if we were to do something like this on this magnitude, I would expect the legislature would be very involved in making sure that if the CPUC needs to have additional regulatory authority, it can have that authority. I'm not suggesting that somehow or another we pull away from state regulation. I'm simply suggesting that the current model of investor-owned utilities, where at right now we've got two hedge funds that are competing for the carcass of PG&E in a bankruptcy court, that's not something that's going to lend itself to a solution that will be good for the public.
One of the mayors who is not part of this coalition, or who at least didn't sign the letter you sent this week, is San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who has been pushing for the idea of quote-unquote public power. I assume you reached out to her and asked her to join. What was her explanation for why she didn't?
Sure. I spoke with Mayor Breed as we've been talking to their team, and we've had very collaborative conversations. They've been on this path for municipalization for the city of San Francisco to buy the wires and poles. And they've been on that path for some time. I think, as you know, I think they had a $2.5 billion bid that was rejected by PG&E recently. And we wish them well. They appreciate what we're trying to do. We understand what they're trying to do. I suspect that at the end of the day, we will end up aligned on one plan or another. But we recognize they've been on their path for some time. I would say that what I don't want to see ultimately with PG&E, and I think this is true for many stakeholders throughout the region, is if we balkanize the company into lots of smaller utilities, there are going to be very difficult questions to answer about who exactly accepts responsibility for the very large costs of transmission in rural areas and the liabilities of fires in those areas.
We're talking with San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo. He's leading a coalition of public officials who are urging the PUC to turn PG&E from an investor-owned utility into one owned by its customers. The number to call, 866-733-6786. And let's go to the phones. And Will in Santa Rosa, you're first. Welcome.
Thanks very much. I appreciate this discussion, and I appreciate the offers that are coming forward. Part of my concern is that a lot of this is cart before the horse in terms of offering takeovers and dollars before a clear or at least a better path to safety and security is put forward. So what I'd like to understand is, how do we compare these different offers if it's not just based on money? And what is that pathway that provides a return to safety as we proceed?
Mayor?
Yeah, those are really important questions. The path to safety is going to require billions of dollars of investment in maintenance that, frankly, PG&E has neglected. In upgrades of, in some cases, a century-old infrastructure. And that is going to require access to capital markets. And what we know about a utility cooperative or a customer-owned utility is they can get greater access to those capital markets at a far lower cost because a customer-owned utility would be exempt from federal taxation. It would not have to be paying dividends to shareholders. In the last decade, PG&E paid about $7 billion in dividends to shareholders, and we know over that time significantly underinvested in the infrastructure that's required to provide safe, reliable power to Northern California residents. So we think there's a better path, and that path is one through a customer-owned utility that has access to capital.
Will, does that respond to your question?
It does. Just as a follow-up, part of my concern is as I look at some of the smaller utilities like Bear Valley, they struggle because they don't have the economies of scale that the larger utilities have. Obviously, PG&E has not leveraged their economies of scale in the way that we would like to improve the grid. But I think trading the economies of scale, we just need to understand what we're getting in return. And if we have more favorable consideration in the markets, fantastic, but still, quantifying that return to safety to understand the pathway forward, I think, needs to come first before we weigh whether, you know, this $21 billion offer or this public takeover is going to be resulting in improvement. And I just think doing the heavy lifting of digging in and understanding that path to safety needs to come before we start budgeting, if you will, for the path ahead.
Yeah, Will, thanks so much for the call. A lot of thoughtful ideas there. And Mayor, we should be clear. I mean, looking over the letter you sent, there really isn't a plan, right? This is an idea at this point.
Yeah, what we're looking for is an opportunity to present a plan, because right now all we have are two hedge funds in bankruptcy court competing for PG&E assets. And neither, as far as I can tell, is presenting a plan that is going to result in safe, reliable, and cost-effective service to our residents, particularly in ensuring that we have a sustainable company that comes out of bankruptcy. And what we don't want to see is PG&E back into bankruptcy a third time. I would just add that, you know, the caller makes a good point. We do need economies of scale, and that's why I don't want to break up the company. I want to transform it into a customer-owned utility where it would continue to cover the same service area.
It's a little funny to me that a mayor and a bunch of local officials are leading the charge on this. Where's the governor? Has he responded to your letter? What is he encouraging this? Because I could also see this idea as sort of a leveraging, like a bargaining chip in a way with PG&E.
Well, the governor, I think prudently a week and a half ago, invited what he called a competition of ideas. He wasn't satisfied with what's in bankruptcy court either. And so we accepted his invitation. This is something I know several utility experts have been working on for some time, and we've been talking to them. And so we saw that as an opportunity, a door that he was opening. And particularly now with his involvement more directly in the bankruptcy proceedings through mediation, we think there is an opportunity to get to something that is better focused on the public interest.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Jake in Oakland, you're next.
Hi, my wife works for PG&E, and I know that PG&E is one of the largest employers in the state. They've got tens of thousands of employees. What would be the game plan for the employees in this situation? Would my wife's a union employee? Would she be, you know, absorbed with her complete union benefits package intact, or would there be a greater turnover beyond just the upper levels of PG&E?
Mayor, I'm guessing that you really haven't gotten to that point to answer that question, but maybe you have some thoughts.
Yeah, both things are true. We haven't gotten to that point, but I do have thoughts. We've had a couple conversations with leadership in IBEW and recognize very clearly that this is not going to be a game plan where we try to break up the company or break up pension obligations or anything like that. We understand that there is a very well-trained workforce that, frankly, has been working far too many hours over the last several months with all of the crises and wildfires and shutoffs that the team has had to deal with. And, you know, the employees need to continue doing what they're doing in reliance on the promises that were made many years ago. And I have no intention of disrupting any of those commitments. We're not looking to break up relationships in any way with labor. We want a good trained labor force that's there. We just want better management that's better aligned with the public interest and the customer's interest.
All right, Jake, thanks so much for the call. Let's see if we can get one more caller in here. Yee in San Jose, welcome.
Hi, yes. I'm a chartered financial analyst, and I was wondering, so the mayor is talking about the fact that PG&E needs to be recapitalized, and I totally agree with that. But in addition to the financial markets, where are you going to get the equity capital from? Like, who's going to put in the seed capital to make that happen?
Mayor?
Yeah, I mean, right now what you have in bankruptcy court are two hedge funds that are largely expecting to go to capital markets for debt. That is the way typically this works, and it would be no different for us as well. The difference is, what is the cost of that capital? And for those private entities with an investor-owned utility, we believe the interest rate and cost of capital would be far higher for the reasons I explained before about tax exemption and the obligations to pay dividends and so forth. I think it's also important to recognize, I mean, literally one of the parties in bankruptcy, Elliott, has actually proposed that a couple of the tranches of bonds that would need to be issued would be below investment grade. That's another name for junk bonds. And a PG&E that has to rely on junk bonds to finance its future is not a PG&E that the public can rely upon.
All right, Yee, thanks so much for the call. And Mayor, just before I let you go, you, I no doubt, are recall and are aware of what happened when California tried to deregulate energy. It was kind of a mess, rolling blackouts and the rest. You know, how do you protect the state and yourselves and all of us from sort of the unintended consequences of this kind of a shift?
Well, I'm not proposing deregulation for one thing, and we recognize the role of regulation. What is important, however, is to ensure that financial interests of the company are aligned with the interests of the public, and I think we can get there together.
All right. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure.